Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one.
You're listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. For 30 years now, Improv Boston has been on a mission, and it's not just to make people laugh, though they do that, and it's not just to be a launching pad for local comedians to go on to star in films or to write for The Daily Show. Though they've done that too. No, their mission has been to honor the craft, to be a place for performers and audiences alike to stay dedicated to the art of comedy. And this week, those efforts are on full display as dozens of improv and sketch and stand-up acts from right here in Boston and from all over the United States, heck, even Canada, are descending on Central Square for their Boston Comedy Arts Festival. With me now in the studio is Zach Ward. He's the executive producer of the Boston Comedy Arts Festival. He's also Improv Boston's managing director. Thanks for joining me, Zach.
Thanks for having me on, Edgar.
So we're in this right now. The festival is going on. It's been happening. It officially kicked off when? Last night or Tuesday?
It kicked off on Tuesday night with two showcase performances by the Cambridge Footlights. And last night was our 30th anniversary celebration. We had showcase shows from Improv Boston's history all on stage to celebrate 30 years of comedy.
So how's it been going so far?
It's been great. Selling out two shows on a Tuesday night is not bad.
Yeah. Nope, you can't complain about
that. All good things ahead. And we're really excited about the week coming up. Obviously, we have shows on both stages at Improv Boston and at the Brattle Theater in Harvard Square.
So that's cool. So you guys are sort of striking out beyond your own space, which is right there in Central Square.
Exactly. This is the fourth year of this particular festival. Yeah. We have a lot of festivals at Improv Boston. But this festival has grown so that we're having to look at other performance venues. And we're really excited to just go right down the red line to Harvard and work with the Brattle.
Yeah. So one of the things that really sort of stands out to me about this festival in particular is the name, which is that it's not the sort of the Improv Boston Sketch Festival, or it's not the Improv Festival. You're calling it the Boston Comedy Arts Festival, and that word arts is kind of jumping out at me. And I'm wondering, how intentional is that title?
There's a long history of the comedy arts, and what has been a part of our mission for a very long time is celebrating and teaching and dedicating ourselves to that art of comedy. And what that means is that as opposed to the sugar high of just jokes, right?
we
talked about, just like comedy for comedy's sake, is that we're looking at comedy that can actually make an impact on an audience and engage them in a way, get them to think about things that are actually happening in their lives in a different way, and doing that through humor.
And so you've got a lot of a few different sort of ways that this is happening, right? You've got stand up, you've got improv, you've got sketch. How do these forms differ, or do they really differ?
Well, at Improv Boston, obviously a 30-year history, all of the work that we did for a decade or more was just all improvised, right? Everything was based in improvisation. And so our sketch program, our stand up program, all of these comedy disciplines that we teach have grown out of our improv philosophy. But really, all of it is looking at comedy again as an art form. And the interesting thing about all the acts is that the acts take whatever this discipline is and play with other forms. Is the sketch comedy influenced by improvised work? The stand-up comedy that we produce, a lot of it is just standard joke writing. But we're really excited. For example, I think we're going to have on the program today Kevin Allison. He's doing a storytelling show. And so we look at storytelling as just one more step away from traditional stand-up. So really it's just about comedy as this top umbrella, and everything else is just sort of falls underneath.
So I noticed you used the word, you're using the word teach, you're using the word discipline. You know, I think about, you know, it seems to me like somebody might think, I'm going to take a comedy class. It's like you're in your first year in college, and you're like, oh, a television class. We're going to get to watch television. All we're going to do is watch TV. It's going to be awesome. I'll take that. Easy A. What are you teaching? I mean, how do you teach comedy?
Well, The interesting thing is that comedy as a discipline, like if you want to learn, take our sketch classes, that's we're teaching comedy writing as a general way of thinking, right? How do you actually process a funny idea? We've all been told, or those of us who are listening to this as potential future comedians, have all been told at the water cooler that we're the funny friend, right? Yeah. We're the person in the office that makes people laugh. But actually, when I say the word discipline, I mean, are you disciplined enough to take that general personal sense of humor and turn it into something sustainable? And so our classes are, well, they're a really good outlet. People do them as a hobby. It's a fun release from their week. And then there are the 20 to 30% of people that really want to dig in and get, you know, get dirty, learning about, you know, how do I get on stage? How do I communicate this funny idea more effectively? Or how do I look towards the next three steps in maybe seeing this as a career?
Talking with Zach Ward, who's Improv Boston's managing director, and he's the executive producer of the Boston Comedy Arts Festival, which is going on now. I want to turn now to the phone and bring Kevin Allison into this conversation. Kevin is formerly of a very influential sketch comedy troupe from years back called The State, and he's now the creator of something called Risk. Kevin, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. Phone sounds good. You sound great.
Oh, good, good, good.
So I want to talk a little bit about Risk, and I think this is something that that our listeners might find familiar because it has sort of strains of This American Life or The Moth, which are programs that you hear right here on 89.7. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Risk is?
Well, you know, in the, I would say, 12 years after The State, my sketch comedy group broke up, I was just trying so hard in comedy. I was doing all these characters and trying to say something on stage, trying to tell stories as characters, and it just wasn't working. It just wasn't connecting. It just wasn't as meaningful as I wanted things to be. So I did a show in 2008 in San Francisco, bunch of characters, and Michael Ian Black, another member of The State, was there. And I said, I didn't feel like that worked. What did you think? And he said, I think everyone wanted you to drop the act and start speaking as yourself. And I said, oh my gosh, but that feels so risky. And he said, exactly. So the very next week, I started telling personal stories on stage, incorporating the parts of my personality that I would normally use in characters, only in a much more candid, honest, and probing way. And it was like night and day. The connection with the audience was just electric. People were not just saying that was funny afterwards. People were saying, thank you. That brought back memories of my childhood, that made me want to call my best friend, blah, blah, blah. So I said, I'm going to force myself to do this on a regular basis. So we created the podcast and the live shows called Risk, where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share in public. And some of them are just outrageously hilarious, and some of them are just shockingly emotional and revealing, but it makes for a roller coaster ride of a show. And in comparison to This American Life and The Moth, it's a lot rawer and edgier and unpredictable. It's very much like anything. I always say, nothing is inappropriate until something maybe turns out to be inappropriate.
Until it becomes vastly inappropriate and everybody runs screaming from the theater.
Exactly.
Kevin,
yeah.
I think I've got a clip of one of your stories that have been done as part of Risk, and I want to play a little bit of this because I think this will sort of be illustrative of your point about this idea of stories that you maybe didn't think you were going to share in public. Let's hear a bit of that right now.
I get to the laundry and I realize I can't put this stuff in the dryer. I spent all my money at the sex club last night. So now my like 300 pounds of laundry are kind of like 800 pounds of laundry because they're all sopping wet in like six bags, and I'm hobbling down the street with this stuff and I'm bleeding and I'm heaving and I'm sweating, and I run right into my parents. And my mom says, why are you doing all the laundry at once? And I said, oh, well, the thing is, it's just that I have crabs.
Now, this is your graduation day from NYU, right?
That's right. Yeah, the morning of my graduation from NYU.
So, you know, it's funny. But it's confessional, and that's a word that I find very interesting here, because I think this is something that we're seeing more and more of in comedy. And I wonder, what is it about this confessional element that sort of either draws somebody in, or what does this bring to the comedy?
You know, it's interesting. There is a slightly different reaction to storytelling than to stand-up. In stand-up, it's just such a tradition for people to heckle and people to be like, yeah, show me what you can do. But as soon as someone walks out on stage and you can tell that they're kind of stepping out on a limb and opening up about their real life, something shifts in the audience. They lean forward a little bit and they feel a little bit more supportive. Because they're like, oh, wait, this person is like having the balls to share with me right now. So I'm going to respect that. And so something like special happens in that chemistry there of storytelling.
And I actually think that's really similar to what happens when you improvise a show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Storytelling. The reason that we reached out to Risk was the bridge between our sort of core of improvisation, how raw that feels,
yeah,
just translated so well to having a storytelling component to the festival.
So what's interesting to me is I feel like there's a million ways to tell a story. There's a million ways to be vulnerable. There's a million ways to be confessional. There's everybody kind of understands and can connect with the idea of, you know, sharing a painful experience from a childhood or whatever. First of all, how do you make it funny? And what is the value in making it funny? For you, Kevin.
I would say that in storytelling, I don't force it. When I first started telling stories, I would just first like speak into a tape recorder and like get it all out there. This happens and then that happens and this happens and here's how I felt about it. And then I'd later try to put jokes in there, but the audience could tell. They could tell that I was kind of forcing laugh lines in there. So once you've done it a little bit, you'll notice that because it is vulnerable, and this is also something that's very similar to improv, because you're being true, you will get laughs where you might not even have intended them. It's not so much about a well-crafted line or a super witty surprise as it is just being true to what you're talking about. And so it is something that you kind of get used to over time, just developing your voice and, you know, the way that you're opening up in front of people just starts to become a little bit funny naturally from having practiced at it.
Interesting. Zach, for you, what's the value? Why funny? Why comedy?
Well, I think that we teach, for example, we talked a little bit about the comedy school at Improv Boston, and the main thing we teach is truth in comedy and how to foster that revelation of honesty, mm-hmm. things that are honest and truthful and an audience can engage with. I think one of the big reasons that you do storytelling and tell these stories that are revealing is so that an audience can engage and actually process things that have been similar in their own lives.
Yeah.
When we're able to make light and bring some levity to those dark, you know, sex club stories that we both have, Kevin.
who doesn't have one?
Come on.
Then people can live that out and process that themselves.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, for you, Kevin, that's the idea behind Risk, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. When you listen to other people's stories, you feel more connected to humanity, because even if you can't relate at all to where that person has been, there's something psychological about the emotional journey they went through that makes you feel like, oh, I'm living vicariously now. Now I kind of feel like I've been through a little bit of the Iraq War because this person was sharing so often
about
how they felt.
Kevin, I'm going to have to stop you there. We're running out of time. Thanks for being with us. Zach Ward, all the information you could need about the Boston Comedy Arts Festival is available at our website, wgbhnews.org. Links, and Kevin's going to be doing a show as well. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for us today. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH Radio.